The sermon this evening comes from Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 28. Exodus chapter 10, starting at verse 21. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. And Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Beware, do not see my face again. For in the day you see my face, you shall die." But Moses said, "You are right. I shall never see your face again." Pray with me. Our God, help us now as we come to the face of darkness. Help us now as we look at the place in which the world dwells as it rejects what you say. Help us to see the shadow. Help us to feel the cold, that we may rejoice in your light and that we may rejoice in the warmth that you have given us. Open our eyes now to see that you will be most glorified. Help us, Lord. We love you and we trust in you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The idea of light and darkness. Light and darkness. Can you think of transitions in your own life, moving from light to dark or dark to light? There are times that the light blinds us. There are times that the light hurts our eyes. There are times when the darkness comes upon us and overwhelms us. When a friend of mine moved from Colorado to Pittsburgh and he was coming to the seminary, he was there for some time and eventually he said, "You know, I just feel sick here." He asked me, "Am I ever going to see the sun again?" There was a darkness and there was a gloom. The house in which he lived, there was mold and it was making him sick. The shadow was heavy on him. It was as if there was a darkness that he could feel. I remember one point only a year or two ago that we were so overcast around here for days and possibly for weeks. Then one day there was a hole in the cloud and I felt the sunbeam hit me and it was more than warmth than hit me. It was as if my body was feeling the vitamin D and it was coursing into my veins and it felt good. It felt wonderful. It felt like a reason to rejoice in the sunshine. Here a picture is being given of this darkness and of this shadow, a darkness and a shadow that could actually be felt. It's the opposite of the ray of sun. It's the opposite of knowing Jesus Christ and knowing the light. It is being in that place of darkness, a place of shadow, a real place of despair. Have you ever felt that dark? Have you ever felt that cold? Have you ever felt that alone? Those of us who remember those times before Christ Jesus know those times where we had no comfort. There was no presence. Many of us had put our hope in people and our hope in individuals or our hope in circumstances. Maybe even after the point of your salvation, you had your hope in a person or your hope in a circumstance. And God looks down when you are holding on to some dead thing that will not make you alive. Where you're holding on to something that cannot and will not save you. And He loves you enough to reach down and take that false light or that false rescue, even though you love it with every part of your soul. He loves you enough to say, no, you can't have it. And why does He do it? Because He's cruel or wicked? No, it's because He loves you and He will not have you put your hope in some darkness or some shadow or some prince or some man or some woman or some circumstance, some job, something that will not save you. He says, no. In those moments, for a time, we feel awash. We feel lost. We feel alone. These times can even come in our saved lives where we forget Him, where we love our circumstances too much, where we love man or woman too much, where we love anything apart from Him too much. And it's taken away from us, and we are left standing in what we imagine is an utter darkness. Even a darkness that can be felt as a weight on our heart and ice encapsulating our innermost being. Well, we look at the scripture and we see that there is a light that shines in the world. A light that comes in Christ Jesus is described as this light that is the light of all men. So for us as individuals, we look and we come to that light. We continuously seek that light. We look and we compare the rest of the circumstances around us to that light. And we say, there is nothing greater than Christ Jesus. There is no other hope. No man will be my hope. No woman will be my hope. No relationship, no circumstance can be my hope, but only Christ. So the call for you this evening is for you to give yourself to this light, to give yourself to Christ Jesus. Our first step is recognize the weight of darkness. Verses 21 and 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. I don't know what Moses was going through emotionally at this place. If I had been put in a place to declare a plague, I would start to think, Jehovah's not much fun. Maybe I don't want to go talk to Him anymore. I think of Micaiah, the prophet, when the Israelite kings and the king of Judah had come together and they said, why don't you go get a prophet of the Lord? And Ahab said, no, we have one, but I don't like him. He never prophesies good concerning me, only evil. Here, Moses keeps coming into the presence of God. And what would this voice be like when he says, you're going to stretch out your hand, and there will be a darkness on the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. This darkness and this heaviness that has come, this heaviness that is present. When we think of the contrast of the idea of the warmth and the light, this shadow that comes in, this shadow that is there. What is it like when God turns to the light and says, stop. Stop. Not for him anymore. Not for her anymore. There will be no radiance of my presence. There will be no radiance of my joy there anymore. What is a darkness that may be felt? Perhaps you at some point had saw some sin that looked so sweet. You pulled against God's hand again and again to get away from Him, to get to some sweet sin. And you struggled and you struggled. And finally, at one point, He said, go. Go drink of your death. Drink your sin. Maybe you drank of that well. Maybe the darkness went down into your very soul. And you longed again for the light. There is a place so terrible. There is a place so alone. There is a place that is so sick that it sits in your innermost being. In the shadow, when you are away from God's presence, is that very place of no longer being with God. Matthew 6:23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be bad and full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness where we are rejecting Christ with our innermost being. We move to our second step, this place of being in darkness. And this step is a question. Are you fed or are you famished? This idea of, are you in the light and participating in the light and being nourished there? Or are you intentionally or unintentionally setting yourself in this shadow, this lack of His presence? Exodus 7:13. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. This place of the hardness of heart, I'm going to connect it to the not listening. Not listening to what God has said. As we put in our membership vows, that we will diligently read our Bible. That is, we will go to the place where we are mining, where we are digging, where we are seeking His face. If we are not in that place, we are in a place of famine, in a place where we are famished, in a place where we're allowing ourselves to be in the dark. Amos 8:11. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or of thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. Are you in a self-imposed famine? Do we rise every morning and think, I must feed my body, but not feed our soul? Do we come to the time for lunch and say, I must feed my body, but not feed my soul? Do we come to the time for supper, I must feed my body, but not feed our souls? Those of us who have other people that we're responsible for, are we careful to feed their bodies, but neglect feeding their souls? We see the reality in Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How often have you rejoiced when you read a passage of Scripture and you say, this speaks to me. This speaks to me now. This speaks to my circumstances. How often throughout the week have you read the Scripture and you think, this is good, this is what I need? Then you come into the assembly and you hear it again and you say, yes, there it is. This is good. This is what I need. You read a devotion and there it is again. This is good. This is what I need. Someone else shares a Scripture. This is good. This is what I need. You hear another sermon. This is good. This is what I need. And you see that a light shines for your path and shines into your soul. And you know that it is good. It is what you need. It strengthens you from the inside out. How glorious is that? How sad then when we say, no, I don't need it. We walk in shadow and we feed our body and we do not feed our souls. John 15:5, Jesus speaks and says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from that light, apart from that nourishment, apart from that healing, apart from that salvation, we see that I can do nothing. And oftentimes we look at our lives and we see, I lack fruit. I lack fruit. I lack love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. I lack it. Why do we lack it? Why is it not there? Because we give ourselves the shadow. Comfortable, content to walk in the darkness, we decide not to hear. And it is a famine for our souls when we live in that place. We walk and we are closer to sitting down with Pharaoh than we are to sitting down with Christ. How is the word to be read and received that it will become effectual to salvation? That the word of God may become effectual to salvation, we must attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives. This is feeding on the word. This is fellowship with Christ. Loving Him and seeking His face. Loving His word. So our third step is go to Jesus for light. In Exodus 10, 22 and 23, so Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky. What must that moment have been like? Sometimes I come into the pulpit and I feel like a fool coming before you, imagining that I am coming forward to give you anything good or anything right, or coming before you to give you anything holy. What did Moses feel like even now as I stand here and I stretch out my arm? I feel small. I feel insignificant in a moment. But Moses comes out and there stands this little man in the midst of a land, 80 years old, and he reaches up and he stretches out his hand and he looks up and somewhere out there in the distance, the light starts to go. It turns black. The sky, the clouds turn black. The darkness comes down and descends possibly like a mist on the land of Egypt. And he looks and he sees nothing. There is blackness on a people. If you've ever been in a room where the power goes out, people gasp. People start to murmur. People start to complain. That's just in a natural moment. What would it be like in a city if the world went black. Nothing. As Scripture says, they couldn't even see each other. People would be screaming. People would be moaning. People would be groping along walls. People would be groping along the ground, crying out, looking for anything that could give them light. You and I, in our lives, you and I, in our circumstances, don't you need the light? Don't we see the reality of our own blindness? Don't we see that we need something, someone, to guide us? And that is Christ Jesus. That idea, again, from Matthew 6:23, if that light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In Matthew 4:15 through 17, it speaks to this great need. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea among beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. That people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. What was that light? It is that Christ Jesus has come into the world and he has preached salvation. He has said that I am the light of the world. I am salvation. I am what you actually need. I am the living and true God. I am the living one. I am life. What do you need? You need a walk with your Savior. You need a walk with the author of light. He is our hope. He is our salvation. Now, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our salvation, we will have shadow and we will have our difficult times. But we look at Jesus as the author and the king of our life. We look at him as the author and the perfecter of our faith. Another way to say it is he is the champion of our faith. It's in Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance of the glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. Take in a moment that he holds the light, even the light rays are upheld by the word of his power. When he said, "Let there be light," he actually created the light rays that were coming from the stars. They were present. Adam and Eve were able to look up and see all of the stars. He upholds all of that by the word of his power. And he can also say, "Stop. Stop. No more. You stop. No more." He creates light and he stops light. Now this brings us to our fourth step. If he seems silent, cling to the light of your salvation. You will all have times where you will go to him and you won't hear him. We'll have times where it's quiet and he is not, seems as if he is not near. In Exodus 10:23, there is this shadow and this darkness. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But there is this other place. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Even if it seems dark, if you have trusted, if you believe, the light of your salvation is still present. If you don't feel him, the light of your salvation is still present. If you go to the word and even there he seems silent, he still speaks, and the light of your salvation is still present. John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Even if you don't feel him, if you walk in him, you have the light of the world. You are walking with him, even if you don't see him. That was our fourth step. I jumped ahead to our fifth, and now we'll come to the sixth step, which is prepare for the final judgment. Exodus 10:27-29. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Beware, do not see my face again. For in the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "You are right. I shall never see your face again." We see Pharaoh in the place, and I'm going to put this in the place of the unpardonable sin. The place of the one who rejects the true and living God and will never repent. This is the place of being utterly lost. Luke 13:34-35. Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem when he had come to his own, but his own would not receive him. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is echoing that voice that he had spoken previously in Jeremiah 22:5. "But if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house will become a desolation." Those who will not receive Christ will be lost. They will be lost. You and I are put into the place to trust and to believe. You and I are put in the place where we are called together to give him his worship. You and I are in the place to call on the name of the Lord, to trust in him and to rejoice in him. Psalm 118:26. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. we have blessed you from the house of the Lord. We see that distinction between those people who will come and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that is to worship Christ Jesus, and those who are separated from him, who will not give him his worship, those who will not call on him. You and I are in that place to continuously remember him, to continuously remember Christ, to continuously give him his praise, because you have been called of him. You have been brought to that place of light. How sad to be in the place where your innermost being is darkness. It's described that even in their houses they couldn't see one another. Some way and in some fashion, even if they could light a candle, there was no light, even if they could. A darkness that was felt, they couldn't even see one another. Completely lost. Completely alone. Where are you? Where are you? Do you know the light of your salvation? Do you know Christ Jesus as the light of the world? So give yourself to him. Flee the shadow. Flee the darkness. Walk in the light. Walk with Christ Jesus. And invite others to him as well. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you for having been our light. We thank you for speaking to us when we were lost and giving us so great a salvation. Lord, may we not forsake your light. May we not forsake your word. May we not forsake your Son. And may we walk with him, trusting him, that you will be glorified as your people are strengthened and as we proclaim your salvation to the lost. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.